Good morning. Amen. Turn to the woman beside of him and say, "You sure look good today." Appreciate that, Charles. Amen. It's good to be in this house, and we want to study the Word of God together. Remember, last week I started a series on release, that I believe it's the will of God that He wants us to be free. Many, many Christians today, church people, whatever you want to categorize it, are bound and don't even realize it. There's a lot of bondages today. There is. I want to talk about the bondage of deception. The scripture that we're using for foundation is found in John. And I want you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning. John chapter 8, verse 36 is the one we read to you last week. And this is our foundation text. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free," Jesus came, lived, died on a cross, "that we might have victory and that we might be free." Free from bondage. It said, "You shall be free indeed." The word "indeed" is a very powerful word because it means that there is no alternative. The enemy can't talk us out of it. What God did for us, it is done. It is written. It is signed, sealed, and delivered. Amen. And it's the will of God that we be free. Now we started in the book of Mark. So if you want to turn there with me again, and I'm not going to take time to read all that again today. We read it last week. Actually, that's all we were able to get done was reading that story of when Jesus was confronted with the man who was full of demons. You remember we said last week he was legion. 6,826 demons had possessed this man. And I think today that we need to become more aware of our presence here on this earth as Christians. There is coming a day when we're going to go to be with him, and I'm looking forward to that day. But until that day comes, we have a responsibility here. Jesus came to prove the authority against evil. We as Christians today have authority, God-given authority, against evil. I was alerted this week and disturbed when I heard the news of the lady in Detroit that killed two of her children and put them in a freezer and had kept them for over a year and was found out because she heard voices, and she said they were demons. She has two other children, and thank God they've taken them out of her care, if you want to call it that. But it just alerted to me and to say how prevalent and how relevant this message is today, that we're living in an evil world. How evil can a person who is supposed to protect their children and love their children destroy them to the point that they take their life and then put them in a freezer? That is a sign to you that we are against an enemy. Evil is present. How many of you know that? And we're going to study the Word today to learn that Jesus came to confront it. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all this, but there's a couple of things that I want you to see. It says, chapter 5, verse 1, "And when they came over to the other side of the sea," it was Gadareans, where they were at. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there comes one running to him." This man was tormented. He's running to Jesus. But I want you to notice something here in verse 4. "Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither..." Get this part right here. "Neither could any man tame him." I want you to understand that we are dealing with a force that you cannot deal with on a human nature, psychology, or whatever. You cannot deal with this force within your own self. Evil is present, but where sin abounds, grace does more abound. Amen. God wants us to understand that you cannot deal with the enemy on your level or on your own intellect or any of that. because you have to deal with him supernaturally, because we are living in a supernatural world. We serve a supernatural God, but we also have supernatural enemies. And I want you to understand, he is an enemy. Three things I want to bring out in this message today. And we're going to, as I said, I want you to keep your Bible open because we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. The first thing I want you to note when we begin to talk about the bondage of deception is that demons are real. Demons are very, very real. Different translations of the Bible, but in the New King James Version, demons are responded to in 82 times. In the King James Version, they're referred to 80 times. In the Gospels, they are referred to 61 times. So when Jesus came, if you remember, when he came, what was the first thing to happen to him when he come out of the wilderness? He was tempted. You remember that? He was tempted and the enemy came to him and started promising him all these things. That was the first attempt that the enemy had to try to stop him. So it's amazing to me that he understood his warfare was not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness. I want you to understand, it is the will of God that we do not walk around and be ignorant. That we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, but that we have been made aware of his presence and how to deal with that. I want you to understand, playing church and acting a part is not going to impress him one bit. But when you walk in the authority that God has given to you, he cannot have your family. He cannot have your region. He cannot, because you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We take communion every Sunday here. You drink that cup, which is a representation of the blood. But I want you to understand, the blood of Jesus is very, very powerful because it represents covenant. And God is a covenant God. So Jesus came to represent authority. I want to read a couple of scriptures. Go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, follow with me if you will. Matthew chapter 8, beginning verse 16. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast them out, the spirits with his word. Do you see that? And healed all that were sick. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 32. Look at that with me. Matthew chapter, okay. And they went out, behold, they're brought to him dumb man, possessed. Notice the word possessed there. We're going to explain that in just a few minutes, because I want you to understand, it is possible for believers to be in bondage. It is possible to be free, to know Jesus as your Savior, but yet have bondages in your life that hinder you and hold you back. Now, we don't like to talk about that. We don't want to talk about that. But it's true. There are things in our life that we need to give to God that maybe we have not done that yet because we don't understand. And we will not walk in ignorance. We will walk in knowledge, because there's nothing that the enemy brings your way that you and God cannot conquer together. Amen? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you see this, okay? Matthew 9, 32, and he went out, and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, I'm reading you the word of God now, Jesus confronted the devil. I just told you how many times it's representative in the word. So don't you think that's something we need to deal with? I want you to understand, there are forces that are going to try to come against you and your home and everything that you have. And you need to be aware of these forces. When we live in a time where you turn on the news and men's heads are being severed, people are killing their children, it is happening all around us, and God does not want us to walk in a spirit of fear, but knowledge, and knowledge knowing that we have authority over this. Amen. Look at with me, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. The reason I want you to look at it with me, because faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. Matthew 17, and let's look at verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil. I want to say this. My heart is stirred today because God did not call the church. Listen to me very carefully. God did not call the church to come in this world and just be a little part, just be socially acceptable. Just say all the right things and do all the right things and play our little church and let the world go by. Jesus came in this world to break the chains of the enemy, because it is sin, and that's the words you don't hear anymore in the pulpits of America, but sin destroys lives. Satan is not your friend. He has come to kill, steal, and what's the next word? Destroy. He's not interested in hurting you. He's interested in destroying you. Well, preacher, do you really think we need to talk about this in the pulpit today? Do you think we really need to talk about the devil? I mean, let's face it. Now, we're a very intellectual society. I mean, we can just point on a screen and talk all over the world. Do you really think we need to talk about the devil? And that's exactly the attitude the devil wants you to take when you don't understand who your enemy is. He can be all around you and you don't even know it. Our military, which I'm very proud and grateful to know that I'm in a nation that has a military like we do, but they spend a lot of money every year on intelligence. And that intelligence does nothing more but study the enemy. Studies the habits of the enemy, what they eat, what they like, how they walk, what they do. Why? So that when you know who your enemy is, you can segregate them and you can deal with them in a more intellectual way. The devil don't care how much you come to church and how much you go through your little ritual and how much you do your little thing, long as you don't make a difference. Amen. And the average church today is more interested in the color of carpet than they are of people's lives being changed and transformed in America today. I want to tell you, we need to get back to the basics. And the basics is we're not here to be friends with the devil. We're not here to get along with the devil. And we're not here to be socially accepted by the devil. We are here to rebuke him and destroy his works. Amen. He's not your friend. And I feel a strong anointing on this message, because I want to tell you, churches are going on all over the world today, and when they get done this morning, they have not done one thing to impact the kingdom of hell. The devil don't care how much you sing, how much you go to church, whatever you do, he don't care, long as you don't believe what you're doing. Amen? Now I got an obligation. I'm going to preach a funeral this week of a tremendous man. I love Ted. Mr. Ted, I just love that man. He made you laugh. I just loved me. You know what hit me today? You know, I was the last pastor that he heard preach before he went on to glory. And don't you think I don't take that serious? I take every time I come in this place right here very serious. And I do everything within my might to bring to you what I think God wants you to know, and what God wants, what thus saith God. Amen. It's a time to be serious. It's a time to be serious. Thank you, Lord, for your power. There was an illustration I heard one time. This lady was in the cold of the winter, and she found a poisonous snake that was almost frozen to death. Hear this now. Even though it's a little story, it has a tremendous meaning. She found this snake. It was coiled up and he was almost frozen to death, a very poisonous snake. She took that snake into her home where it was warm, and she began to love it and cuddle it. And one of her friends said, "Don't you understand that's a poisonous snake?" "Oh, but we'll become friends. I understand he's poisonous, but he won't hurt me." And so she began to rub him and take care of him. And he got a little warmer, and he got a little warmer, and finally he came back to life. And all of a sudden, she just loved him, cuddled him, got used to him. Reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot got as close to Sodom as he could. Do you remember that story? And all of a sudden, one day, when she was loving him and petting him, he bit her. And that venom, work with me now. I drove a short bus to school. Work with me. It began to go through her veins, and she began to die. And she looked at the snake and said, "I cannot believe that you did this. I loved you and saved your life." And you know what the snake told her? "You knew I was a snake." I want to tell you something. In America today, there's some snakes out there. And you better know where they're at. And you better know they come through the televisions. They come through the airwaves. They come through the news reporters. They come from any way. Deception is out there. Deceiving deception is out there. And it wants you to let your guard down and say, "It's going to be all right. Everything's okay. Let them have their way. We'll do our thing. We'll all get together and sing Kumbaya. And we're all sit around the campfire. And everything's going to be wonderful." But when you're bit and you lose your rights, and you can no longer assemble together like this in a place and worship the God, you have to worship the God they tell you to worship. Then you'll hear the echo, "I told you I was a snake." I'm telling you what, it's real today. Are you listening to me? The book of Mark. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 3. I'm reading you some stories here, some scriptures. Mark chapter 3. And I wanted you to look at them with me. Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him." "That he might send them to preach." And look what he said in verse 15, "and have power." Do you believe you have power today? Do you believe Jesus was put this in here because he said, "Let me say, I'm running out of space. Let me just write something down"? Do you believe when he came out of that grave on the third day, he distributed power to you? That's what it says right there. "And you have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out the devils." You've got power over him. Look at Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I don't usually read a lot of scripture, like to read a lot of scriptures, because it bores people and you lose their attention, but I want you to hear it this morning. Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. "And they went out, preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, anointing with oil. Many were sick and healed them." So what's it saying there? They recognize the enemy. Mark chapter 16 is the last one we're going to read right here. Mark chapter 16. I want you to look at that. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Just giving you some scriptures. Underline this one. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, I plead the blood over my family, over my grandchildren, over my children every single day. Because when they go off to school or when they go out into this world, they go into an evil world. But greater is he that's in my children and in me and in you than he that's in the world." Amen. "You cast out devils," and that means to reveal the enemy who he is, "and shall speak with new tongues." C.S. Lewis wrote, and we're going to look at some more scriptures in just a second. But number one, demons are real. C.S. Lewis spoke, there's two groups of people. There's a skeptic and there's a superstitious. The superstitious, when you begin to talk about demons and devils, they see a devil behind every bush. See, there's extremes in everything. And when people, the enemy wants you to make it look like it's some circus so that you won't think that it's powerful. But they're superstitious. They see the devil behind every bush. And then there's the skeptic that says, "There's no devils. There's no devils. It's people, listen, they don't exist. We're more intelligent than that." There's the superstitious and there's the skeptic. And C.S. Lewis says Satan loves both these people, because both of them are in bondage and they are deceived. The church world says, "Let's don't talk about devils. It makes people feel uncomfortable. Let's talk about something else." But how many of you know we're weapons of our warfare are not carnal? How many of you in here, don't raise your hand, but how many of you in here battle every week? How many of you here battle demons and forces and things, and you may not understand that is that, but I'm going to tell you something. The skeptic says they're not there. The superstitious says they're everywhere. But I believe there's a balance in there that we don't walk in fear. We don't walk out the door looking at the devil, but when he presents himself, God reveals him and we deal with him. Amen. Jack Hayford said, "You cannot cast the flesh and you cannot disciple a demon." You cannot cast out the flesh. Some people say, "Oh, that's just the flesh. That's not the demons. That's not a devil. That's just the way we are." Jack Hafer says, "You cannot cast out flesh and you cannot disciple a demon." Now, what does that mean? That means that there's demonic bondage in a lot of our lives that we need to learn to deal with. Let me ask you a question. Is there something in your life right now that you continually have to pray over, over and over again? Maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's anger, maybe it's lust, maybe it's greed, maybe it's hate, whatever. I want you to know there's something in your life that's holding you back that maybe nobody else knows about, but every time you start moving forward, you are hit with this thing. I want you to understand God has given you power to be free. God has given you power to be free over lust. God has given you power to be free over anger. Maybe you're a type person that when you speak, you just rip people's hearts out. And you say, "Oh, that's just the way I am." How many of you know that God wants us to be free? We won't admit it because we're in a nation today. We don't admit that we got things in our life. Church is not about us admitting that we actually need church or that we need something. Amen? We don't offer to nobody any needs that we have because we don't want nobody to think we have a need. But the devil knows our weaknesses. And he knows what we deal with every day. And I want to tell you something. Put this in your mind. Don't open the gate to the enemy in your life. That's simple, but it means a lot. Fear hath torment. Are you a type of person that fears everything? Are you a type of person that anger just takes you over and you just find yourself just getting so mad at the drop of a hat that you just want to go off on somebody? Anybody here ever going off on anybody? Don't raise your hands or nothing. But I'm telling you, there's a devil out there and he's doing everything he can to influence you and to control you. All right, number two. Demons really do enter people. Demons really do enter people. Do you think the voices that this lady heard that killed her own children were natural? Do you think that was just having a bad day? Or do you think that was a demonic influence? And as we look at these people on the news, we say, "Oh boy, that would never, never, never happen to me." You be careful what you say. When a man will take a belt and put it around his neck and jump off a staircase and hang himself, do you think that he just got up that day and said, "I'm just going to have a bad day. Just think I'll kill myself"? I want to tell you something. You better wake up and realize there's voices and they're talking to you and they're talking to your wife and your husband and your children. You better not let the internet raise your child. You better not let the TV raise your child because you don't know what they're hearing. And I want to tell you, parent, don't be afraid and don't be ashamed because you're a parent that says no. And don't feel like that you're wrong because you won't let them look at everything. Because have you seen some of the junk that's on TV today? The cartoons are ridiculous. I mean, when I come up, I mean, Tom and Jerry, I mean, that was the hot item of the day, you know, but now it's just demons and all. And you want to know why? Familiarity. Oh, just, preacher, get real. We live in a real world. Yeah, we sure do. And when a mama can take the life of two of her babies, that's a real world. And I'm preaching you this morning like this because sometimes we got the idea, well, that's way over there in California, Detroit, or somewhere like that. No, it's right here in Goldsboro, North Carolina. There are satanic churches right here in this city. Do you know that? Did you know there are satanic churches in this city that when they go to church like you do, and they worship Satan? Did you know that? All around us, while we're playing, he's serious. And we better be serious, because demons do enter people. But I got some good news for you. I don't mean to scare you this morning, but I mean to shake you into reality. Jesus can set us free, and we can be free. Amen. There's nothing that he can bring to you that Jesus can't set you free. I want you to go to John with me. Let's go to the book of John. John chapter 10. I want you to see a couple things here. Are you getting anything out of this morning? John chapter 10. Verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. Now Jesus is speaking here. And we say sheepfold. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about his people. He's talking about his church. Verily, verily. You remember when I told you in the scripture, when you hear those both words, that's a sound of importance. Verily, verily. In other words, I really want you to hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. I say unto you, Jesus, I say unto you. He's speaking the word into you. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. Listen now. But climbeth up some other way. We're the sheepfold. Well, there's an enemy. He's not going to come by the door. Jesus, you know why? Because who's the door? Talk to me. Who's the door? Wake the one up beside him and say, you need to hear this morning. Who is the door? Jesus is the door. He don't come through the door because he thinks he's the door. How many of you know Satan thinks he's God? That's why he was cast out of heaven. He thought he was better than God. And God said there's only one God. And I want to remind you, America, there's only one God. And he's Jehovah God, and he'll only always be one God. Read the scripture now. We read these scriptures. You know what? We don't half read them because we're just used to what the preacher said, or we're just used to. We don't read them. We skip over it. Half of us right now, our mind is on what we're going to have for lunch. I want him to hurry up and quit talking about demons. But when they start coming against you, you're going to hopefully remember something I said. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but look at this, climbeth up some other way. What does it say he is? He's a thief and a robber. What is the devil? He's a thief. He comes to rob. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's Jesus. He's the door. To him, the porter opened. I want you to see that. I could read all that to you, but I'm not going to read it. In your study, read all of it. But go down to verse 10. You got to get this right here. The thief cometh not but for to steal. Years ago, when we were coming up in school, and I'm getting ready to reveal age here to you, but prayer was a powerful thing in school. I remember that. I remember you prayed at the beginning. You said, pledge allegiance to the flag. And I can't even imagine that I'm living in a nation now of what they're saying about our flag. The men who have given their lives on foreign soil so that we could be free, we have the audacity to sit back and discuss whether we're going to let that flag fly over our states. It's going on today. Did you know that? Did you know that talk is going on? Did you know there's a talk going on today to change the flag? The thief cometh not but for to steal. Years ago, can y'all bear with me? I'm a little anointed this morning. One guy said anointment. I'm anointment this morning. But God wants something to be said today. Our rights are on the chopping block. Everybody's got rights but us. Y'all don't see that? One lady took prayer out of school. One lady. You want to know why she did that? Because she could. Make no difference. She still took it out. She took it out. She might have died, but her philosophy is still going on. So we took prayer out of schools. Then we couldn't have Ten Commandments on the walls anymore. We took Ten Commandments off the walls, put policemen in the halls. Now you can laugh at it if you want to. You can make fun of it if you want to. You can just play your little church games if you want to. But I'm here to tell you, by God sent me this way to tell you, there's a real enemy out there. Tell those men that come over from foreign soil that's been in battle. Ask them, is the enemy real? Ask some of them that don't have a leg anymore or don't have an arm anymore. Are we fighting a real army over there? What you think the answer is going to be? Preacher, you're making me uncomfortable. I hope so. I hope so. I hope I make you so miserable that you got to fall on your knees somewhere and pray that God, because I'm going to tell you something, the devil wants you to get wrapped all up in a bunch of junk that don't mean nothing while he comes in and does his thing. Let me finish this scripture. I'm trying to finish. Can y'all give me 5 more minutes? Amen. Whew. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Verse 10. Thief coming up. But for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Demons are real. Demons are real. And they do enter people. They do enter people. There's a confusion about possession. Can a Christian be demon possessed? There's some questions you hear sometimes. But you got to understand the word possess. People don't understand what the word possess really means. It's a Greek word. It has 2 meanings. Daimonai and zomai. There's 2 words. One is ownership. Can the devil own you? No. God owns you. You belong to God. He owns you. But can the devil control you? The second meaning of that word means to gain mastery over. Gain control. Can a Christian... Can the devil own a Christian? No. But can he influence one? Yes. The point is there an area in your life that you cannot get the victory over, that you continually ask God for forgiveness over and over and over and over and over again, but you can't get the victory over it? Lord, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to do that again. And before it's over, you do it again. Anybody ever fell in that category? You ask God for help. Number 3, Jesus really does cast the devil out. Praise God. I want you to beware. I want you to look at Luke. We're going to finish up with this scripture. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to thy name. Their devils are subject. Do you know what the word subject there means in the Greek? It means submissive slaves. Even the enemy is subject. I'm going to tell you something. We better get prayer back in our homes. We better get prayer back in our lives. You better get prayer back. Because prayer is the power that God has given us, the tool that God has given us, that we may defeat the devices of the enemy. Look what it says in verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a light falling from heaven. This is Jesus talking. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Have you ever had so much fear come over your life, it just tormented you? We all have. I don't care who you are, if you're a Christian or whoever, There are times when the enemy will taunt you with your children or taunt you with something, and fear will just overtake you. That's natural. But I'm so glad we can call on God and say, God, I'm scared, and I don't know what the future holds, and I don't know how to do this, but I know that you do. And all of a sudden, that peace that passes all understanding comes in the room, and God says, it's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. Jesus really does cast the devils out. God, I know you've heard of people doing things that's totally out of character, totally different than what they really are, but something happened in their life and they opened up a door. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to give an altar call this morning. I want to remind you back in the original scripture when the man saw Jesus, he come running to him and worshiped him. He worshiped him. Heads are bowed now, and I want to ask you this morning, if there is someone here today and you're saying, God, I need more power. I need more knowledge. I need more direction in my life. And Lord, I don't want to be a victim, I want to be a victor. If you're here this morning and you say, I need more of God in my life, I need Him more, I want you to step out of this altar right now. Step out of your pew right now and just find your place in this altar right now. Just step right out where you are. Say, I need more of God. I need more of God. I need His wisdom. I need His direction. I need His understanding, because I do have fear. There are things in my life that I need help on. And I need some help this morning. I need some help. God, help me. Help me this morning. Is there others? Come. Everyone that will, come. Those that will, come help pray with some of these this morning. And let's just have a time of prayer in this altar this morning. Father, we thank you today for the privilege that we have had this morning to sit here and preach your word. Lord, we face a lot of things in America right now. There's a lot going on in America right now. And Lord, I know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, there's a lot of people that has come to this altar this morning, and they're saying, Lord, I need you. I need you, your help. And Lord, I pray, you know every situation, Lord. You know every situation this morning. Father, we don't have to know it, but you know it. Father, we turn to you this morning, and we ask you for help and guidance and direction this morning. God, we ask you for direction and leadership. Father, give us strength that we need. God, give us that ability we need, God, this morning to be able to recognize when the enemy walks in, when he comes in with his force, help us to recognize, God, what he's able to do. But God, help us also recognize what you're able to do. Father, we ask you to take this opportunity, Lord, as we give our hearts to you afresh and anew. God, we ask you, Lord, to give us a fresh anointing, a fresh vision. God, renew our hearts, oh God. For Lord, I believe, God, there are times when we grow cold and we grow indifferent and we grow away from you. God, help us to come back to you, Lord. Help that fire to burn within us again, Lord. Help us not just to go through the motions, but help us, God, accomplish, Lord, things as you've set out for us to do. Lord, we've come this morning and we've shared this word because America is in a tremendous place. We're at a crossroads in America, and the evil is trying with all of its might to come in a greater proportion. God, I know greater is He that's in us. And God, you said that you wouldn't put more on us than we could bear. But when the enemy would come in, you'd raise up a standard, oh God. We ask you, Lord, to raise that standard today. Raise that standard today, Lord. Break this bondage of deception, Lord. Break this deceiving, Lord. There are those today that think that they're okay. They think everything's all right. But I pray, God, that they'll stir their hearts, that you'll stir their hearts this morning, and that they'll know you as a Savior, Lord. Know you as a Savior. As all heads still remain bowed, the most important thing this morning is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a church, not a person, not a building, but with Jesus Christ. And I ask you this morning, is your heart right with God? Is your heart where it ought to be this morning? Do you have that fire burning inside of you, that relationship that you love Him more than anything? I ask you to check your heart this morning. Jesus coming soon. He's coming soon. This world is coming to an end, and He's coming soon. And I pray your heart to be stirred this morning. Father, you've heard the word, and it's been declared out this day. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for everything that you're doing. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to walk into this thing without knowledge, that we do understand that greater is He that's in us. Father, if there are one here this morning and they're dealing with weaknesses and they're dealing with problems, help them not to give up, God, but help them to turn them over to you. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless all of you this morning. Thank you this morning.